Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might need the word. I'm getting it. It's funny. I need another set of glasses that has a middle line in it. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles with me. Man, we've got a lot of places to go. But Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. We'll just thank God for His Word this morning. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You for it being a part of Your impartation into our lives. Father, I thank You for Your anointing upon my life. And in the name of Jesus, I thank You that I can preach this Word with boldness and that You confirm Your Word with signs following in Jesus' name. Can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to start this morning with a story, but have you ever slept on an air mattress? How many have ever slept on an air mattress? How many have slept on an air mattress that wasn't a very good air mattress? I did that a couple years ago, went to my mom and dad's, and they didn't have quite enough beds for everybody that was in there, and so I got into my mom's office, and she said, "We've got this wonderful air mattress for you," and so we, now, it wasn't as nice as ours. I will have to say that we have a really deluxe one, and it's got a pump already built into the air mattress. All you have to do is push this button, and it automatically inflates, and it's awesome. Well, my mom and dad's one doesn't have that luxury. It's one that you get a little vacuum or hair dryer, and you stick the nozzle in the thing, and you start pumping it up, and hours later, it seems, finally it gets a little full and you put the cap and the thing on it and there you go, you've got the air mattress. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up wondering what's going on because that air mattress that was so full of air when I started at 2 o'clock in the morning had deflated and I was laying on this, I don't know what you would call it, It was no longer an air mattress. It was like a puff in air and my body is down caved in this thing and I can feel the hard concrete of the floor below me, It had lost its air. So, of course, the next morning, so I tried, and of course, 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to make all this noise to try to fill it all up and wake everybody up in the house And so you try to make do with it I think I rolled over and slept on the floor, And so then the next night, I'm thinking, gosh, what caused that to happen? So I blow it up even harder, I'm going to get more air into it. Well, about 2 o'clock the next night, guess what happened? I'm feeling the concrete again, and I roll over and think, man, I think the floor is a little bit better than this. The point of this story is no matter how full I could keep it, there always seemed to be a leakage that caused it to deflate. And the scripture, what we're going to be sharing this morning, is out of a couple verses that I found, but using the words of hold fast, or being steadfast, or to grab hold of and not let go. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says this, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Revelations 2:25, and this is interesting because there's three places in Revelation where the Spirit of the Lord, as He's talking to John on the Isle, and giving these Isle Patmos, giving these this revelation to write to the churches. Now, these letters we know were seven physical churches that existed at that time, but they were very symbolic, though, of the church that we are now a part of ourselves and very applicably apply to us. But in a couple of these verses, it says in Revelations 2:25, it says, "But that which you already have, hold fast until I come." Revelations 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man can take it away." 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with the example of the air mattress? Well, one of the things that I really have seen in my Christian walk is that there is no status quo. What do I mean by that? There's no neutral. You know, there's no place of relaxing and of lounging and taking it easy. I've really found that in my Christian walk. And an analogy I kind of got is like this. You know, my Christian walk is desiring ever more to be closer to Jesus. You know, that we want to constantly reach the prize that is set before us, which of course is Him and His presence and His love. And constantly we are wanting to be more and more like Him. And so if we could envision that as being a full mattress of our Christian lives, or another example, and maybe like, you know, here's the target up here or the goal up here, and we're going up this hill. And what happens is that if we put the vehicle in neutral and just decide to coast and say, man, I'm not gonna step forward today, then the momentum is going to be lost, and we're going to find ourselves going backwards, going down the hill, instead of pressing to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're going to find ourselves on that air mattress and thinking that, and one of the things that I'm going to use the analogy of the air mattress is that if we constantly would keep air coming into that mattress, then it would probably be sufficiently full for us all the time. Does that make sense? But if we don't allow ourselves to constantly keep ourselves full or keep the input into our lives so we're constantly being made full, then we're going to find ourselves leaking because we're in a world that constantly is being that's constantly being pulled. Let me say this again. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, but just being in this world, its influence is constantly hammering against us. You know what I'm saying? Now, oh, yes, yes, sucking the air out of us, the life out of us, because that life is in us and the world is constantly is combating us. Now, if we take a break, do you think the devil's taking a break? No, never. And see, that's one of the things I think that we lose focus of is that we're in this war, and it's not an option for us to be a part of it. Our participation in this war isn't by our choosing. We're in this because we're born in this world, that the devil is the god of this world and is constantly wanting to drag us into his kingdom and have his influence over our lives. But I thank God that we can be in the world but not of the world through our relationship with Jesus Christ. When I got born again, glory to God, I became translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. But right now we're still in the world. And so we have to hold fast to that which has been imparted into our lives. We have to hold fast to the word that we're hearing. We have to hold fast to our trust in Jesus Christ. Now in Ephesians, if you're there, turn to me please. Ephesians chapter 6. And go to verse 10, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Where'd you put that water, okay? Hallelujah. Has everybody got Ephesians 6? Now let's look at this. Ephesians 6:10. It says, and a final word, and I'm going to read out of the New Living. A final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you would be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. Now, there's a couple things that I want to point out in this verse. And the very first thing is realizing the last part of it is that we're needing to stand firm Or I like to using that the word that we've been talking about, holding fast. We need to stand firm. But what do we need to stand firm against? What do we need to understand is going around about us? Is that there are strategies and tricks of the devil that he is bringing against our lives to try to get us not to stand firm, or to try to get us to stumble, or to get us to fail, or I believe that even he can get us into a place of neutrality. I'll tell you what, we see the how God thinks, we see the, Jesus said that, that there's hot and there's cold, but the worst place is what? Lukewarm. And I see lukewarm as being a place of neutrality. I see it as a place where we're thinking we can coast and get by, not realizing that what happens is that we lose momentum. And, when we lose momentum and we lose that place of seeking after God, of seeking the things of God, and coming to say, well, and this gets the place, the strategies. What does it say here? The strategies and the trickery of the devil is to get us into a place of neutrality, a place of losing hope, losing focus, getting weary. Getting in a place out of faith and into what? Fear. Getting a place of accepting things instead of resisting the devil. I mean, these are the strategies, and this is the trickery of the devil, and that we need to stand firm against. You know, when we seek after God, God desires for us to keep our eyes fixed on him, out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And, constantly we're desiring our lives to be more like Jesus. I know I do in mine. I mean, I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And when we love God, we have a desire, I believe, to be like him, because we are his children. We desire to put on the new man. We desire to walk in the light as he's in the light. But we have an enemy who is desiring to come against us with his strategies and with his trickery to get us off focus, to get us off target, to get us to stumble, and to get us to lose momentum, to lose that focus upon Jesus Christ. I've heard this said that a huge locomotive, when it's at a standstill, just a small block of wood in front of the wheels can keep it from going. But when a locomotive is going full steam ahead, you can't put nothing in front of it to keep it to stop it. You know what I mean? And I see that analogy very similar in our lives. The devil wants us to lose momentum. He wants us to not start going up the hill. I mean, if we go up that hill and we keep on walking, we keep on driving forward, we keep on moving forward, we're going to reach the top. But what happens is when we lose momentum, do you know it's so much harder to get going? It's like so much harder because we've lost the momentum. And that's the trickery that's our strategy of our enemy, to get us to lose momentum, to get us to lose focus, to get us into a place, I say by the Spirit of God, a place of neutrality, even a place of accepting things that we know aren't right just because we stop resisting, we stop combating, we stop. And that place of stopping becomes the place of losing momentum. Let's use an example. Where does sickness come from? Sure, the devil. When Adam and Eve were here before the fall, there was no sickness. There was none. And so when Adam and Eve fell and this world became a sinful world, sickness and disease became a part of this world because of the fall, because of sin. And so many times what the strategies of the enemy is to get us to accept sickness as being something normal instead of being something abnormal. Instead of realizing where it's coming from. But you know what I mean? I mean, we see commercials all about us trying to sell products to combat sickness through medicine and through this and through that. But overall, there's an acceptance of, oh, that's just normal. That's just going to happen. It's flu what season? So everybody's expecting those things to come upon them. Not me either. But you see, what happens is the devil's lies and his strategy and his trickery has gotten us to accept what is wrong as being right or being normal. And it's not. So we have to have this understanding that God's word says, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. It says, if I submit myself to God in James 4:7, if I resist the devil, that he will flee. So Pastor Jeff, are you saying sickness is of the devil? Yes. Yes, it's part of sin. Now, I am no longer a sinner, but I can open the door to sickness when I miss the mark. Truly. But it's easy to shut the door because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins before him, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And to think about it in our lives as being completely cleansed. Now, there's sickness that can come and attack us just because it's out there in the world. Okay? And it tries to knock on our door. And we have to have the awareness of the strategies and the trickery of the devil to be able to say, no, I'm not going to receive what you're trying to sell. Oh, the devil's trying to sell us a bill of goods all the time. And he uses media about us to try to proclaim what he thinks should be, but we need to proclaim what God's word says should be. You know? When he says, we should lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, where no sickness shall come near my dwelling. I mean, I love Psalms 91. You know, where I'm underneath the shadow of the Almighty, where I'm under his protection and he's taking care of me. When it says, you know what, no evil shall befall me. That's putting our trust in him. And that's where we need to hold fast to that trust in him. You know, the devil's strategy is to try to bring fear, because where fear is, there's no faith. You know, we heard of the Ebola stuff coming now into the United States. Well, you know what? I'm not afraid, because I know that I can resist the devil and he will flee from me. I believe that with all my heart. And so I will not be afraid of the fear of the pestilence that comes. Was it Psalms 91 that talks about that? Comes by night. Yeah, thank you. But do you see what I'm trying to say? Is that we will not fear those things. Why? How can we not fear them? Because our trust is in God. It's because we're focused by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, the devil desires to bring me into off track and get my eyes on other things, but I have to say, no, I'm going to hold fast to that which I believe. I want to hold fast to my confession or my profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, in Revelations it says, I'm going to hold fast until he comes. What? My trust in Jesus Christ. If God is for me, what? Who can be against me? Do I believe this? Or are these just words that I say? I believe this. You know, we see this same type of example, and we've shared these scriptures before, but think about the sowers, the parable. And Matthew 13 is the one out of Matthew 13:19, when he says, you know, the first thing is the birds of the air plucking up the seed on the ground. But what did that mean? Well, he gave the explanation of it, and he says that is when the word is sown, immediately the thief comes to what? To try to steal away the word. And we need to hold fast to the word. We need to grab hold of it and put it into our hearts and not lose the momentum of our lives moving unto Jesus. Amen? To not lose fat, to not lose momentum. I tell you, I really believe that we have to understand this strategy and this trickery of the enemy. This trickery of the enemy to try to get us out of faith by bringing fear. But we can say, no, this is not what I believe. This is not what God's word says. This is not the presence of God in my life. Submit unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. And so one of the things that we're going to be talking about as I'm preaching on different Sundays, is I want to go through how do we hold fast? You know, how do we keep ourselves focused? How do we resist this attack of the enemy? And I believe the armor of God explains and gives us clear-cut direction of what to do. And I don't have time to go through a lot of it this morning, but it's something that I do want us to get into, because we have to understand that God's mighty power is towards us. And that in verse 11, if we put on this armor, it is going to enable us to hold fast. It's given us very specific instructions here that we have to put this armor on so that we would be able to stand firm. If we do not put this armor on, then the ability to stand firm is lost. So we have to do something to have this steadfastness in our lives. We have to put on this armor of God. And as we put on this armor of God, it will enable us to stand firm or stand fast. Amen? And let's look at the next verse here. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you would still be standing firm. We have a battle that's against the work of the enemy. There are spirits out there that are trying to come against us. And we need to put on this armor so that we can resist, we can fight, we can defeat them, and stand strong. We've been given all the weapons and all the tools and the armor to do what needs to be done. But if we don't put this armor on, then we've opened ourselves up to attack that we should not have had to be, that we don't have to go through. You know, does that make sense? You know, we've opened ourselves up to the strategies and the trickery of the enemy, and then we are fighting a battle that we probably are going to get hurt through. And we didn't have to. We didn't have to. I guess that's the point I'm trying to say, is if we put this armor on, we will stand strong. If we put this armor on, we will win victoriously. And we'll keep the momentum going in our lives. We had some pastors from FCF that came to visit this weekend, and it was just a blessing that they're here just to help encourage us as a church. And it was just a wonderful time of fellowship with them and getting some wisdom from them and sharing in their lives. And Pastor Bob had a software program that was basically a questionnaire type of thing that would be allowed to see the health of the church. You know what I'm saying? And he gave an example of a church that took this test, and it just absolutely floored me to see the statistics of this, because it shocked me. You know, to realize out of and it had people leveled in their relationship with God, you know, with God, you know, from 5 to 1, you know. But here I was looking at those that said that their relationship with God was a number 5. That they said, man, Jesus and I are like that. You know what I mean? And then I looked at the statistics of what they said about certain things. Only 33% of them believed that tithing was important. And that just absolutely floored me. You know? Because to me, tithing is an important part of my relationship and my walk with the Lord. If I give God my finances, then I know that He's got my heart. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? But only 33% of those that said that they were number 5. Only 33% said that they believed that the Word of God was God's infallible Word. I'm thinking, what? Where's this coming from, you know? Guys, there is trickery and deception and the strategies of the enemy that will try to get us off the momentum of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I tell you, you can't have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ if you don't spend time in His Word. You know, it just doesn't happen. God's Word, I mean, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. I mean, the Word is God breathed unto us. I mean, that's why here in Faith Family Church, you'll never hear me stop encouraging each and every single one of us, myself included, to spend time in God's Word. Because it's life to us. And it's important that we get in the Word, study the Word, meditate the Word, so that we can continue walking towards the goal of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And that we don't lose, everybody stay with me, momentum. Momentum. Because it's hard to get going again sometimes. It's not impossible. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, it's not impossible. You know, I've had times when maybe I've stumbled, but I've picked myself up and kept on going. The important thing is that we keep on going. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a couple moments in my life where I've put it into neutral. And then I wondered, what's going on? All of a sudden, I remember that went, you know, I'm rolling backwards. Then I'm having to deal with some things that I had already dealt with because I'd lost momentum and I was coasting and it just don't work. The air came out of my mattress. And I had to fill it up again. But this time I've learned to keep the pump on. You know what I mean? I've learned to keep it full. And that's what I want to encourage with you this morning, is learning how to keep the mattress full. Okay? We know the strategies and the trickery of the devil, and that we're in a world that desires to suck that life out of us. But you know what? Bless God, we're going to keep full of life by keeping the pump on, by keeping our eyes focused, by keeping our momentum going. And how do we do that? By putting on the armor of God. Are you with me? Okay. So, your assignment this week is to read Ephesians 6, 10 to 23. I would like you to read that every single day. Okay? Once a day, this next week and next week, I want you to read that passage of Scripture in Ephesians. I want you to get it. What's that? Sure. Yeah, 24. To the end of the chapter. But starting with verse 10, I'd like our assignment is every single day this week is I want us to read the armor of God. Okay, so when we talk about it and we discuss it, I want it to come into your hearts and into your spirits. I want you to understand that we have to put on this armor so that we can stand firm, that we can hold fast, and we can prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Amen? So everybody got their assignment? Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 24, the end of the chapter. Every single day this week, I want you to read that, please. And I want you to get it into your spirit. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the armor of God. I want you to think about what it means to be saved and having that helmet of salvation upon our lives. And we're going to talk about this and minister about that. But I need you to have to do that assignment. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Ephesians 6, 10 to 24. And praise God. God is so good. But as we put this armor on, we are going to run the race with endurance that has been set before us. And we are going to win in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for its inspiration into our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the armor of God so that we can stand firm and resist the devil. And not even just resist, but we can win and live life victoriously. Hallelujah. Lord, I know in your scripture in John 10:10, where it says, where the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the strategies of the enemy. But I thank you, Lord God, that your strategy is what said you said next. That you said that you've come that we might have life. Life. And that more abundantly. I thank you for the life that you have given unto us through Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are going to run this race, hallelujah, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, as we resist the devil, he has to flee. And so I just speak into my body, and I say, body, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. It's already been paid for. It's already been done. By the stripes of Jesus, my body is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Say that over your bodies. In the name of Jesus, my body is healed. I resist every sickness that would try to come against it. In Jesus' name. I resist diabetes. I resist heart problems. I resist cancer. I resist everything. It's not of God. In Jesus' name. I call myself blessed and highly favored. I expect the favor of God upon me in Jesus' name. Amen.